You're listening to the Zandbergen Report, where wealth strategies and investment wisdom collide with Bart Zandbergen, your distinguished host and certified financial planner.
Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, a showcase for wealth strategies and investment wisdom that's essential for our evolving world. I'm your host, Bart Zandbergen. In studio today, as usual, our producer, our Wizard of Oz, Paul.
I'm seeing double today. I see not one, but two show hosts here today. This is amazing to me.
That's right, and I can't wait to introduce my special guest, Nick Rosti. Our subject matter today is going to be a little off the beaten path, but not really. And Paul, probably one of your favorite subjects. It's self-discipline.
One I need daily doses of, I'm afraid, here. I'm an old hippie. It's a little hard to be disciplined.
All right. So Nick Rosti, longtime friend of mine. What are we, 30 years going on?
Yeah, about
30 years. So I want to give him a proper introduction, even though our subject is self-discipline, which he and I share a common bond with. Nick is an amazing luxury real estate person in his own right. He works for Pacific Sotheby's International. He's a father of two beautiful daughters, Anise and Brielle, and as well as a devoted husband to his wife of 12 years, Fatima. Nick's comprehensive experience spanning more than 15 years has resulted in more than 700 residential sales, with 95% of his listings selling for an average of 97% of their listing price. Nick's track record of results stems from a dynamic combination of personal and professional hallmarks that include an unwavering commitment to excellence, exceptional negotiating skills, and an approachable manner. Viewing life as a journey, not a destination, Nick believes highly in continued life education and self-improvement. By regularly refining his personal and professional skills, he is able to embrace change and has developed an uncanny, intuitive sense. Nick, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bart. Thanks for having me.
Sure. So we may get to some real estate at the end, and I want everyone to know how good you are. But today's show, I think, we're going to focus on self-discipline, how it's been integral parts of our life for as long as we've known each other.
And can I interject one thing, and then I'll shut up for the rest of this, because I really do need to listen to this. Don't you both get up at like some ungodly hour, like at right after midnight or something here?
Yeah.
Right when I'm going to bed, you guys are getting up. Tell me what both of you, when do you get up here?
So I'm between 3:30 and 4. I think, Nick, you're just about the same, right?
Yeah, about 3:30, 3:45.
How do you do it? Oh, my goodness. Every day? I mean, once maybe, but I'm all ears.
Well, that's a very good subject and question. And part of that, and I think it's the same for Nick, once you've done it for 20, 25 years, you can't turn it off. I have not set an alarm clock legitimately in over 20 years. With the exception of, I think, two flights that I wanted to make sure I didn't miss.
Wow.
Just as a backup.
So were both of you always morning people? Or is this I know you're going to talk about self-discipline. Was this something you had to discipline yourself to get into? And why do you make it part of your routines? I'm just fascinated.
That's a great question. So, no, I mean, obviously, who's a morning person to get up at 3:30 in the morning? As a matter of fact,
a farmer.
Yeah, to some people, we would be called crazy. So, discipline, you know, that we have to obviously build and you know, follow through repeatedly, week after week, month after month, year after year. And like Bart mentioned, now it's to a point that, you know, I don't know when the last time I used an alarm clock was. And, you know, I'm up sometimes at 3 in the morning, you know, going downstairs and preparing a coffee. And then sometimes my wife wakes up and she thinks I'm crazy. So it's just part of the, you know, routine. And you know, this way, I call that time my time. You know, the phone's not ringing. I don't have to do any kind of a family duties. I can really focus solely on myself for a few hours in a day, which I believe is very important.
Yeah, Paul, to answer that same question, mine turned around when my son, who's now 30 years old, was born. Prior to that, I would work and then work out afterwards, but I made a commitment both to my family and myself. I want to be home, you know, at a decent hour and spend some time with him. So I converted from an afternoon workout person to an early morning. So again, I think, you know, to use the word self-discipline, I had to discipline myself to start getting up early.
And I got to tell you one thing, having sat in this chair now for years and listened to very successful people come through each and every day, successful people like both of you are, the one common characteristic I hear all the time is they get up early and start their day way before everybody. The great David Geffen wasn't in here, but I read his book years ago. And when he started off at the William Morris Agency as in the mail department, yep, everybody got there at 6, he got there at 5. I applaud that, and I just want to note that that's such a common characteristic for very successful people like both of you here.
So Nick and I both, our clientele is successful people. Let's call it what it is. And being in the gym early, I mean, we're surrounded with you know, I would say definitely a majority, if not close to 100% of people who are driven, and certainly self-disciplined, and for the most part, successful. So,
as well as most of them that are, you know, family men are really good family men.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. So before we get too much further, I looked up the definition of of self-discipline, and it's interesting how different the definition of discipline is to self-discipline. Because discipline is more along the lines of I'm going to show you how to do something or force you how to do something. That's discipline. I have two self-discipline definitions. One is self-discipline is the ability you have to control and motivate yourself, stay on track, and do what is right. Sounds pretty good. The other one is training and control of oneself and one's conduct, usually for personal improvement. Now, the one that I, so those were both from like a Wikipedia and a Webster's. The one that I like, and I don't know the author, but it's one that I think is the best. It is to do things others won't do so that you can have what others won't have. And by the word have, that doesn't mean possessions entirely. It could be, hey, I want to be in good shape so you can have fitness or have health. I want to have a great relationship, so you have to put in the work to have a relationship, a good relationship, or be a good family man, and so forth. So I want to make sure that have just isn't material things. It's to have, you know, spiritual or intangible things. Okay, so Nick, we'll compare our discipline lifestyle. So why don't you start with a day in the life?
Okay, so as we mentioned, I get up around 3:30. I go downstairs, you know, have a little power coffee, a little bulletproof coffee. The very first thing I do is I sit down, once the coffee kicks in a little bit, I write 10 things I'm so thankful and grateful for. So I start my day with 10 things of gratitude. That spiritually aligns me, puts me in a high vibrational energy frequency. It makes me feel good right away. After that, I ask 5 questions, and basically I ask the universe, I say, what would it take for me to have a great day today? You know, what would it take for my family to have a blessed, healthy, fun, loving day? What would it take for me to have a successful day? What would it take for me to be able to do everything I can for my clients today? So those are, you know, usually what I do, the 10 gratitude things I write, the 5 questions that I put out in the universe. After that, I head to the gym. I usually see you there, Bart, before 5 o'clock, you know, get my workout in. During, you know, my workout session, when I do cardio, I listen to my self-development audiobooks. I go through probably about 3 books a month I listen to. I'm home typically by about 6:40, 6:45. Wake up my oldest daughter, Anise. I take her, you know, make sure she eats breakfast. I take her to school. She's at school by 8 o'clock, and I'm at work by 8:30, already workout out of the way, and already had my breakfast, and nice and awake, ready to charge a day. Then, you know, at work I have time blocks. I go through my task for the day that I usually write the night before. I accomplish all of my most important and sometimes difficult tasks first thing in the morning. I learned that in a book. It's called Eat That Frog. Do the most difficult things for the day first so you get it out of the way so it doesn't occupy the space between your ears for the entire day. And once that's done, I prepare for my appointments later in the day and go through pretty much. I usually have about anywhere between 3 to 5 appointments a day. So then I zip through my appointments. I make it a point that I book all my appointments and I'm done by the latest around 5:30 in the day, because after that, obviously, the most important thing to me is my family. So I do want to always make sure I'm home on time to spend time with both my, you know, my wife first and foremost, and both my daughters. Spend, you know, a few hours with them and help them with their homework, whatever it may be. So I'm always bonded with them and have a good balanced life on top of that. And put them to bed at about 8:30, if they go to bed at 8:30, sometimes a little bit later. Sometimes
I understand that.
Yeah, sometimes it's 9:30, but I make sure I'm always there to put them to bed, say their prayers with them, and I'm usually in bed myself definitely before 10 o'clock, the latest.
Yeah, that's a great day. That's there's a lot of self-discipline going on there.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Let's unpack a couple of things. So the gratitude, I've been doing the same thing recently. And there's a lot of defense behind that, that says starting with gratitude really helps to create, you know, in a great day and really a great life and a great attitude. When you're gratitude, I imagine it's more than just the tangible things, right? You're thankful for. Give me like a couple of things.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, none of it is tangible. So yeah. They've tested the energy of gratitude is one below the energy of love, which is the highest level of energy, which on a frequency scale is about 650. Love is about 700. So when you give gratitude, it naturally rises your vibrational level up to a 650. So you put that out in the universe. Everything I'm grateful for has got to do with being evolved, you know, my family, health, happiness, love in my life, being able to contribute to others, giving gratitude that I can help my clients in any way I can. It's all spiritual. None of it is really tangible.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this morning one of my gratitudes was I was grateful that the baby slept all through the night. I mean, sometimes it's things like
that. That's a big one.
That's a huge thing. Yeah, I don't, you know, so much of what we do is the same. I'm just going to try to add some things that maybe that you just did not mention. So one thing that I try to do right when I get in, or actually the night before I leave the office, is I create my five most list, and I also create a five most for my team. My direct team is three people other than myself, and I send that to them, sometimes to their chagrin, pretty much regularly every night, say, hey, these are the things that are the most important for you to do tomorrow, and my list is the most important that I need to do. Certainly our to-do list is much longer, but these are the five most important. So that way, it's to your point earlier as well, I want to clear kind of the brain space. I want to be able to have time for creative thinking or family time or something without having to worry about these things. And I have found that writing things down is super important. Now, by writing things down, I've gotten a little electronic. I have the memo pad on my phone has gotten out of control, but it's organized. And I have five most for all my team on there, and it's something like it's easily accessible. Audiobooks. I think that's one of the best inventions of our generation. I think, like most people, like you and I, our days are so busy. It's really difficult to find time to do everything we want and read and work out and family. So, like you, I get my audiobooks done during the cardio portion of my workout. And I think you're doing more. You pretty much are driving or any time that you're by yourself, you're listening to audiobooks, aren't you?
Absolutely. I don't watch TV unless, you know, football season. I'm a Cincinnati Bengals fan, so I like my Bengals. But yeah, I don't watch TV. I don't, you know, listen to music. I'm always into my audio, and that just gives me that natural high. You know, I pick up multiple gold nuggets every day from it, and it's just such a good feeling.
Yeah. Now, are you doing the same thing as me? If I listen to an audiobook that I find is, you know, really good or amazing, I find that my retainability during audiobooks is not quite as great. So I'll then get the book and kind of go through it, at least skim through, and then highlight and write on the side so I can have better retention. Are you doing anything like that?
I do it similar but a little different. So, I mean, most of us are visual, so we're better when we read or see things than when we hear, obviously. So I usually go back and I listen to the book a second time, and the highlights that I like, then I pause and I write them down.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. And once you, if you write something down, you always retain it more, you know? So I always like to write those bullet points down, then I, you know, internalize it.
Yeah. Okay. So I thought it'd be kind of fun to kind of break down the different areas between family, work, health and nutrition, finances, spiritual, on discipline. Paul, do we have time now, or do we need to take a quick break?
I think we're ready for a break here because you guys are throwing so much out so fast, I can't write it all down here. So I need another minute to catch up here.
All right, let's do the break and then we'll be right back. Thanks.
Okay.
We know you rely on your CRM system and it's usually a love-hate relationship. Most CRM systems, well, let's face it, they're expensive. They're hard to understand. People don't use them properly. And you're probably paying for features that you don't even want. If that's your case, then maybe it's time to simplify. It's time to get more from your CRM. Why don't you go back to the original? Trust Goldmine. We helped pioneer the industry, after all. Goldmine CRM is, well, it's simple, it's affordable, and it's proven. If all those sound appealing to you, if you're just tired of the CRM headaches that you're getting from trying to implement something that's just too complicated, too expensive, and too much for you to figure out, then why not go back to the original? Visit Goldmine today, goldmine.com.
All right, let's pick it back up as we talk about discipline. I just got to ask you one question because I really am not that disciplined. I do not get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I do not. I start the day slowly and angrily and drift along for a while. And I'm envious that you guys can do this. How long did it take you to do this? Was it something you just, it's like quitting smoking. People, you know, everybody says they're going to do it. Nobody does it. How long did it take you to develop? It was a conscious decision you guys made at some point. Bart talked about his son being born. How long did it take you to develop those habits? And how did you develop those habits? Did you just grit it out and do it?
Well, for me, I'm one of those alpha guys. So if I make my mind up to do something, I mean, I'm all in. So for me, it was just a matter of turning that switch to the on, you know, position. And yeah, of course, in the beginning, it was, you know, not normal to get up that early. I had to adjust myself to go to bed earlier. But one thing, you know, I did in the beginning was as soon as the alarm clock went off, I counted backwards from 5. So I said, you know, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Once I hit 1, I knew I was done. I had to get up. And, you know, and then I would just pop up and kind of go about my routine. So for me, it really wasn't that difficult. It's just really the conversation we have with ourselves. If we tell ourselves it's going to be difficult, it's going to be difficult. If we tell ourselves it's going to be easy, then it's going to be easy. So it's important to always, you know, have the conversation with yourself that serves you right for what you're trying to accomplish, in my opinion.
Yeah, and just to add to that, I mean, technically, textbook, it takes 21 days to make or break a habit. So anything you can do for 21 days straight, it's been tried and true.
Yeah, I've heard you say that before, and that's what I was hoping you'd mention again here.
Yeah.
I think it does take a while, and I think that's why so many New Year's Eve, resolutions fail. We all say we're going to be different in the new year, and we don't stick with it that long.
Yeah, that's true. And for me, I think part of self-discipline, I'd like to say it's all, oh, it's just something that I've created myself. But I think there is something that's innate. You're kind of born with at least an inspiration to do that. I mean, I've told my personal story. I was overweight as a kid and got picked on and bullied. And it was at that time where, you know, like my self-discipline kicked in. And when I started, you know, eating right and a health and fitness program, and that just kind of lit. Then I still got into surfing. And so I was up every day early to surf. And Nick knows once I get in a habit or routine, it's you can fast forward 5 years, you're probably gonna see me at the same time in the same place doing the same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
So do you think it's something that ordinary mere mortals can do, or is this merely for superstars like you guys? I guess that's the point I'm getting at. Is this something we can all aspire to?
Absolutely. I mean, some people can just, you know, jump in and get going with it. For other people, for example, you know, a lot of my friends, clients, if they try to start dieting, I always tell them, you know, don't just try to change everything at once. Maybe just keep eating what you're eating, but slowly cut back on the portions, you know, maybe for the first week or two, and then slowly change what you're eating. And within, like Bart said, it does take 21 days to build or break a habit. By the 21st day, then kind of get in your groove of exactly what you need to do to accomplish your goal. And then, you know, it's much easier. So for most people, I recommend starting slow, not changing their lifestyle right away, but maybe, you know, if they want to get up early in the morning, start with 2 days a week, you know, for a couple of weeks, then go to 3 days a week, then a couple of weeks, then on and on. So yes, we're all, you know, cut from the same fiber. We can all do it, and it's, you know, it's just what you set your mind into, you know, you can accomplish. So it's definitely achievable for everyone.
One of my favorite sayings as it comes to that, something may look just overwhelmingly impossible for those who are smoking and to quit smoking, or someone who needs to quit drinking or drugs, or whatever the case is, or lose a bunch of weight. One of the best sayings is how do you eat an elephant?
One bite at a time.
One bite at a time. So if you approach it that way, and that's one of the, hopefully I've given my kids some nuggets over the years, and that's the one that I hope really sticks, because if you just do one day at a time, one thing at a time, one bite at a time, you'll eventually get there. Hey, Nick, so let's break down in our remaining minutes maybe the different areas and how you approach it. So areas of discipline as it pertains to your family, let's say. We'll start there.
Absolutely. So the most important thing for me is spending time with my family. That's, my family is really my why everything I do in life right now. So I make sure, I spend time with, quality time with my wife. You know, we have our outings or date nights, so we have some alone times together. I spend alone time with my daughters, because obviously my oldest is 10, my youngest is 3, so there's a little bit of a age gap there. So I spend time with my 10-year-old and niece, doing things that she likes to do, so we can bond, so she's always connected to me. Same thing with my 3-year-old daughter, Briella. I spend alone time with her. We go do things together, so that way we always stay connected and have a good bond with, daddy and me. And also as a family, I make sure I spend, all my time with my family on the weekends that I'm available, and we bond together. We do things together. We have new experiences together. So pretty much, my family's everything to me. When I'm not working or in the gym at, 4 in the morning, the rest of the time I'm pretty much with my family. It gives me peace and happiness and, more than anything else in the world.
Yeah, that's great. And I concur with everything that you said. Excuse me. We talked a little bit about work and how we do our schedules there. So we'll come back to that if we have time. Fitness and nutrition, I think people have interest in that. And I know that people will comment on your lifestyle a little bit, as they do with mine, and the amount of effort we put in to remaining healthy. Food preparation, that's a discipline. I know you go through that.
Absolutely. Yeah, they say the difference between, one of the many, the big, most important difference between people that are, in shape and not in shape is just preparation.
Yeah, yeah. One of my, again, another favorite takeaways is that abs, as we like to refer to them, are made in the kitchen.
Right.
So it, did you get that, Paul?
Now I know the problem. Now I know where it all started. Okay. And I guess there's no Fritos and abs, huh? Or Twinkies and abs. Okay, all right.
I mean, so the discipline that's involved with that we both do is it's taking, it's a couple of hours, a couple of days a week where we're mass producing, I don't want to get technical, but our protein requirements and our carb requirements and getting them ready so that it's so easy as we get ready to go in the morning to pack our food. It's already prepared. It's already in containers. Boom, 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 we go.
Absolutely. Yeah, food preparation is 80% of being in shape, as probably 70%. The other 20%, 30%, I would say 20% of it is sleep. 10% is really just working out, sculpting your body, and not the other way around.
Yeah. And then the other half of that then is on the workout side. So it's one, I think this term is overused, but I think there's some truth to it. Is most of the battle is showing up, but I think there's some truth to it. If you get up in the gym in the morning, you're there. You're halfway there at least.
Absolutely, yeah. just gotta get up and go.
Yeah. Okay, so because we're getting close to the end, and we'll skip some of the areas, but in the area of discipline, we'll focus kind of on spiritual, and with that, I'm going to help to introduce your show, which I know is new for you, and it's called the Energy. NRG podcast, initials NRG, which sounds like energy, which is related to kind of the theme of your show. So why don't you kind of interweave maybe your spiritual discipline and how that's going to be part of your show?
Absolutely. I'm super excited to have my new podcast out there. It's basically geared more towards spirituality with a, maybe a little bit of a flavor of real estate in there. My thing is, I'm always in a path to, evolving as much as possible every day. And at the end of the day, all the books I've read and listened to, it ends up all circling back to ourselves, right? I used to always look out for happiness out there in the world somewhere, but then I eventually realize it's within me. And what true happiness is, you know, what you can do for others, touching other people's lives, making a difference, you know, helping people. So that's basically what the gist of my show is going to be, to help enlighten people, you know, to get to a higher place, help people get tools to overcome mental blocks that they may have had, you know, their whole life that some people don't even know about, and really help brush the dust off of, you know, all the listeners out there, to help them have better days, become better family guys, and more successful at work.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to hear it. I can't wait to hear it. Hey, Nick, who are some of your favorite authors or podcast hosts?
Authors, I would say... Joe Dispenza, I really like him a lot. Again, it varies from month to month because I listen to so many books. Gary Zukav, he's got a really good book, Seed of the Soul. Neville Goddard, Wayne Dyer, you know, the list goes on and on.
Yeah.
It seems like every 5-6 months, new books come out that are even in a higher level of evolvement. So it's just, it's fascinating the times we live right now and what you know, how evolved everybody is getting.
Yeah. Have you had any mentors in your life?
I have. I've had multiple life coaches. Absolutely. Yeah. My very first one was Clement Pepe.
I remember him.
Yes. I always believe, you know, to be successful as a husband, as a father, in business, in life, and everything, everybody should have a mentor. I mean, the president has multiple advisors.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we can always learn and become better. So.
Yeah. Well, look, this is one of the fastest 30 minutes that I've ever spent, so it's been fun. Before I let you go, though, and as much fun as I've had you here in the studio, I always have the honor of asking my guests their final thought question, and that question is your ultimate lesson learned. So what is that for you?
My ultimate lesson learned is always come from a place of love and above. You know, that's just the key. At the end of the day, everybody is just looking for love and happiness, and we all deserve it. And, you know, that's why it's important that's how we treat others, with love and respect, and always come from a high place and a place of non-judgmental and having a good attitude.
Yeah, those are very wise words. All right, Nick, again, it's super cool having you in the studio today. Thanks for coming in. And for those who want to reach Nick and learn more about him, his real estate business, or his show, they can reach you at?
My website is nickroshdiegroup.com, which is nickroshdiegroup.com. And the number is 949-254-4775.
And let's plug the time for the new show. We've already done one episode so far. It's on when? On OC Talk Radio?
Thursday.
Thursdays at?
At 2 o'clock.
Okay, so we're doing it every other week to start with, but we're hopeful that we'll encourage you to find more shows and bring more of this passion and discipline that you guys both share here.
Great. All right, everyone. Thanks so much for everyone who has tuned in, and we look forward to being back in the studio next week. Have a great week. Cheers.
Bye.
Tune in next week for the latest edition of the Zandbergen Report, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Catch up on our recent shows by visiting www.bartzandbergen.com. Interested in being a featured guest on our show, or have a question you'd like to hear us answer on the Zandbergen Report? Email podcast@bartzandbergen.com.
The Zandbergen Report is a production of OC Talk Radio and is provided for educational purposes only. The content of this program and the views of the guests should not be considered as recommendations by OC Talk Radio or investment advice from the host, Bart Zandbergen, or any other entity attached to this production. Investors should always consult qualified financial, investment, tax, or legal professionals prior to investing.